Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 111 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
I can go with 111.
111. Fantastic. We've invented a new number. What else should we do?
Actually, Tolkien used it, didn't he?
Did he? Oh, yeah, 111.
Yeah, so, hello, everybody.
Hello.
I'm just going to put my headphones.
Are you going to fiddle with the recordings? I mean, a 111 shows... Yeah. 111
even. I don't have left channel on my headphones.
You'd think you'd know which wire's going what socket right now.
No,
really,
I just lost left.
Okay, are you sure you haven't gone deaf in one ear?
Try
putting the headphones on the other way around.
It's a good possibility.
Oh dear. Okay, we'll be back after these messages.
I reckon we're good to go.
Alright.
Anyway, hello.
Hello again.
Professional show as ever. Yes, it's a What We're Playing
show. It's a What We're Playing show, isn't it? Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go
first?
You
go first. I'll have to look at what I've been playing.
Okay. Right, whilst you're busy trying to work out what the hell you've been doing for the last 2 weeks, I'm going to start with... No, not Lord of the Rings. It's Warhammer Online. We're now well and truly handed over.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, we had our big... Well, I thought we weren't going to bother last... Yeah, 2 weeks ago, because GOA, Mythic handover, hijinks and shenanigans and all the rest of it, but
they snuck it in.
They got it done faster than they said they were going to. I think there's a couple of people with old accounts on Mythic or GOA where the characters had vanished. We're talking sort of years ago types of things. I think there's procedures there to email somebody somewhere to get those restored. I think some people in our little gang had some trouble with that, but it's got stuff back. I'm not sure. But we kicked off with a roaring start. It was fantastic. We had about 14 people turn up on the first week, the week before the week where we were supposed to be actually starting.
I spent that entire week patching.
Yeah. Quite a few people had trouble getting up to speed with it all. But yeah, we got there in the end. I must say, just as an aside, I'm quite impressed with the handover so far.
I've not seen
any major problems with it. It seems to have gone ahead of schedule. And
I've seen major problems.
Have you?
Yeah, the servers have been rammed.
Well, it's a very busy game all of a sudden, yeah, because they've condensed players from both sides into the same little network, and I think they...
Have we lost servers in this?
I don't think we have. No, all the European servers are in the same list as the US
I think that the extra numbers are purely extra people playing.
Well, also, don't forget they reactivated everyone's accounts for 2 weeks as a freebie, as a sorry for the inconvenience.
Everyone's come back to have a look and see how much better it can be when it's run by Mythic.
So surprisingly busy in there. We've not left for Tier 2 country yet, so we don't know what it's like once we're out of the free trial area, but look, very busy. I was fantastically encouraged by the number of people who came along and wanted to be part of our special little journey that we're taking together.
I was scared.
Yeah, intimidated, that's the word.
Yeah,
we had about 14 people on the warm-up week, and then our first proper week, this Monday, we had about 20 people in the warband, so that was very impressive. Which did sort of raise a few minor concerns about pacing and zerging and so on. I mean, it's a game that's quite forgiving of zerging. It is about wars, war bands and armies after all. But I just worried a little bit, perhaps the 19 people attempting a public quest designed for two people is probably a little bit on the overkill side.
It's on the other side of zerging.
It's the poor guys who are diligently chipping away at it before we got there. I feel sorry for hipster battalion turn up over the hill. Hello! Next thing you know, wallop straight through into the final stage and done. And there's the box rolling. I mean, well, I'm trying to direct our efforts and energies onto the bigger, harder public quests for each chapter, of course. The 9 players plus ones, because that seems to be more suited to, well, 20 people. so the first week we were mostly starting in... We're staying in Empire Chaos Tier 1 at the moment for now, because some of our illustrious... Fellowship are on the free trial, so
yep.
And can't leave that area. But from next week going onwards, we'll be into Tier 2. First week was mostly just getting to know each other, having a hanging out, meeting
desperately
up.
Desperately trying to recognise voices.
Sorting out guilds, yeah.
Discovering that you need to turn the mumble overlay from to show everyone to just show who's talking, yeah. Otherwise it doesn't fit on screen.
It reaches the bottom of the screen if you've got too many people in there, yeah. I had to buy a special mumble server for the whole event, so that was good, but I've also used that for all my other games now. It's high time I bought my own server.
Instead of leeching off everyone else.
I know,
else.
I mooch on everyone
And also
else's
mumble servers are insanely cheap.
Yeah, I got, I think it was multiplay.co.uk, they sold me leasing on one for, I think it's £27 for 12 months, and that was a 50-slot one, which I personally think was extremely good value.
That's
so.
A lot of bandwidth.
Well, it's... Yeah, I mean, it's cheaper than my Xbox Live Gold subscription.
Yeah.
So, and eminently more useful for my gaming.
And the voice chat's an awful lot better.
It is, yeah. It's much better than Xbox voice chat. So I'd recommend that if anyone's looking for servers of their own. They do much cheaper packages for lower numbers of maximum users. Yeah.
They go down to just one user.
One user server. Oh, how sad. Yeah, we did the one on the beach with the fishing huts and the bucketeers putting fires out. I mean, I've played the free trial area quite a lot in Warhammer, and I've never seen that particular public quest go through and complete properly. And we turned up there and stomped it comprehensively, really, on the first week. Then let's see, what was the third? Was it the Wilds of War? I think that was. See, that was interesting. The first week when there was like 15 of us or so, we turned up at that one. I think we were all like level fives and sixes and sevens, and we couldn't do it. Which goes to show that even with a large Zerg, you still need me. You still need John. No, you don't need you. You need some sort of coordination and a little bit of know-how. There is skill required even with that many people, I think, which is very encouraging, particularly if we're tackling this stuff under leveled. I think that can probably compensate for the overpowered numbers somewhat.
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah.
Sort of piecing through the fallout of this week, and lots of people seem to enjoy themselves. Some people didn't quite like the pacing of it all.
I think the
overwhelming sort of shock and awe of us charging about.
If anyone was playing for the first time, they need to solo
first
for a
time,
while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or just a couple of people, grab Andy or Matt or someone during the week and... Or
yeah.
Michael James,
I think,
and play with them.
Yeah, I think a lot of our people in this little adventure are previous players who sort of know their way around the game and are just there for the charging about. But yeah, first time experience of the game via our guild is probably quite hectic, and you've probably missed an awful lot. So if soloing on all other nights is probably a good idea.
As I put it on the second night, it felt like being the boat guy who got swept up in the big invasion in Small Gods.
That was brilliant. Yeah, we did some new Emsbrank stuff. That was fantastic. They were camping us on the little beach rampy bit there, and we just hipster battalion turned up with 20 people and charged out, pushed them out. Captured a whole round of flags, and then suddenly they sort of pushed back.
Rallied back with 100 people.
Yeah, I don't know. There must have been a rally call or something, but suddenly there was like, I don't know, it must have been like 60 people on the new Emsbrank, 60 order players on
the red.
I know, you sort of got around the corner by the railing, stick your head out and thought, my God, okay, time to go and do some public quests then. Yeah, so it just goes to show there's always a bigger force as well, which is, I suppose is reassuring. I don't know. The intention isn't really to just massively zerg our way through and trounce the game with no challenges whatsoever, so that's good to see.
Yeah. Say that, but we can.
Well, we did quite well on the chapter 3 and 4 stuff on the second week, didn't we? With our full 20 year after the PvP, we went charging on down through the Nordland Chaos set side bit there, doing various public quests on the way. We got the Wilds of War sorted in the end, got that pretty much comprehensively worked out, didn't we? We knew what we were doing, but it's dividing up, isn't it? Use the tanks to distract the champion trapper things while the DPS people go in and sort the traps out. Yeah, it's not just charging about and hitting anything that's nearby. You've got to work out what needs doing and where. Then we went all the way down to the big city on the bottom coast there, Salzamund, I think, the Chapter 4 hard public quest, which we did pretty well at, actually. It felt like a school trip, you know, when you go to, you get on the coach and the whole school trip goes to some market town to learn about toffee making or something, and then you're all let off to go to the shops and stuff. And just everyone, I mean, it was probably the finest execute starburst formation I've ever seen in any of my MMOs, just watching the minimap, just green dots everywhere. Everybody's fanned out and met the locals and introduced themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Killed the guards, stole the boxes of treasure, then up popped
every
succession of bosses that we worked through to complete the thing, and we set fire to the whole town at the end of it all, which was fantastic. So
you got to leave something for them to remember you by.
Oh, absolutely. Then we pressed on up into the little keepy section to the side and ended up in some surreal queuing scenario to have a go at this one person tag the thing.
We made a line.
It was
we were queuing
queue.
Neatly in front of the thing we had to click.
Yeah, I think as agents of destruction, chaos, and disorder, we've got some way to go, yeah.
We're a bit too British.
We're a bit too British, yeah. So, a certain degree of order creeping into our proceedings there. But it seemed to go down well. So, I mean, as I say, a couple of people decided that they didn't really want to come back, but that was fine. It's the kind of pacing we're doing. I mean, it's one of the reasons we picked Warhammer is because it can support a lot of people. There was a lot of people sounded like, you know, quite interested in getting on what our next big Monday thing was going to be. So. But yeah, it's going to be anarchic, it's going to be quite zergy, it's going to be a bit hectic most of the time. Still saying that, after a lot of people went to bed, a couple of us stayed on a bit later and did the Hunter's Vale instance, with which is a traditional six-man instance, a bit like you'd find in other games. Normal games, yeah, like Lotro and such like. You need a fairly balanced team to do well in there, healers, tanks, DPS, etc. Took us a couple of goes to work out what to do with each successive boss. I mean, it's got proper bosses that you need to work out the trick of to get through, and that was quite good. We got to the end, and I got a fantastic cloak that turns me into a stag.
Excellent.
I know, I got lucky. I lucked out on the loot drop at the far end of it all, so it makes me look quite imposing. I'm level 12 chosen now, me. I look very badass. I got shoulder pads and everything now. The shoulder pads start turning up around level 12.
Oh, that's something that I really noticed. Mm. I went from level 4 to level 9.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Swept along indeed.
I do need to have a look and see what all those skills do now.
But ding, 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 ding. Sorry, it will slow down
but
as we progress.
What basically happened was we did the entire free trial in one night, effectively.
Well, for those who joined us that week, yeah. I mean, some of us have made a bit of a head start, but even us who were there the previous week had done the entire free trial in 2 weeks, which was basically two sittings of about 3 to 4 hours.
It's a very short free trial.
Well, there's a lot we did miss. I mean, we just steamrolled straight over the countryside, and there's lots of hidden things you can go and find and lots of tome unlocks, even in the free trial. Lots of bits and pieces here, there and everywhere, which we just blatantly charged straight on through. I'm expecting the pace to slow down in future weeks because, you know, that's how levels work in all MMOs, really. Once you get out of the teens,
they start you off with the nice, easy ones to get you excited.
Well, a common complaint...
Oh, this isn't going to take me long. This is going to be easy. This is going to be fun. And I'm going to keep doing it.
That's it.
And before you know it, you're grinding.
Well, you get to your 20s and 30s in most MMOs where it's a 50 cap, and it does start to feel a bit. And if you're soloing, that's generally when you're likely to bounce off the thing, get bored of the whole thing. But there's only 40 levels in Warhammer, so that should help a bit. And also, I just think, it's going to be slower business because we got higher levels and more ground to cover. From here, we'll be branching out into all three campaigns as well. The Dark Elf versus Elves section and the Dwarves versus Orcs section as well. So that'd be a good bit of variety.
Yep.
Because we totally missed the starting here, because it starts everyone in Empire Chaos. So I think anyone who started as an Elf or an Orc probably has missed out on an entire zone that details who they are and what their thing
is. I like the Orc zone. The Orc starting zone's got some really
I've always liked the Elf zone. I've got a Disciple of Cain alt going for my other knight. So I've been playing quite a lot solo, actually, just dipping in here and there and working on a solo character as well, just to sort of so I get a chance to immerse myself in the world, which I think our big Zerk Monday probably isn't ideal for. But all good fun, and I'm very looking forward to next week where we're going to be doing tier 2 keep battles.
Which
for people who've only ever free trialed it would not have seen yet, but they're quite intense.
I need a couple more levels before then.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Actually, no, I can start them early, can't I?
Well, my chosen is level 12 now, I think. So, yeah. And I think most people managed to finish the night around the 11 mark, so a bit more work, perhaps.
Well, I might have to put a couple of hours solo.
Well, maybe. Or we can make sure everyone gets up to speed before we head off to tier 2 next week anyway. I'm not in any real massive rush to get to tier 4. I hear a lot of stories about tier 2s and 3 being particularly barren and empty. But
not for long.
Well, exactly. There's so many of us. We'll certainly be able to keep the public quests going through and popping and finishing, no problem, I don't think. But as for the PvP, well, it depends. I saw a lot. There's lots of order on that Monday, though. I'm beginning to wonder if most people listening to this have decided, oh, I'm going to go and roll order then and see if I can find
it. Yeah, it was a bit of a coincidence. Game not very popular.
Perhaps
all of a sudden we turn up and it's very popular.
Perhaps I'm flattering myself somewhat there.
Did somebody make a post on a forum?
It did seem quite suspiciously contended, that particular time and place, which is about the only time in the week when we're there en masse. So.
Yeah.
Mm, oh well, we'll see. And we'll see if they follow us to tier 2.
I swear someone was actually vindictively killing my squig as well.
no holds barred war. No, it was just fantastic. I mean, I really do like like 12-man content in these games where, well, certainly DDO, for example, is I just love the 12-man raids because it lets everybody all play together, you know, which it's the constant bane of MMO life, isn't it? So you must only have five friends and no fewer and no more.
Yeah,
otherwise
just
you can't.
Stupid.
Yeah, and otherwise, you know, and most guilds deal with it by breaking up into little gangs, and I suppose the healthier ones will rotate the people in those gangs so that everyone gets to play with everyone over time. But ultimately, it just leads to little six-man cliques forming. These people will group together every week over and over, and you might as well not be in the same guild as everyone else. So, but then how do you balance something like that? I think Warhammer does a pretty good job, to be honest. I mean, yeah, okay, we, even the 9-plus public quests we were a little overpowered for. And
we were a little bit.
But the fact that they've designed in this kind of content where you can pick a 2-to-3-man experience or a 5-to-7 one or a 9-plus one, and then, yeah, work with the levels as well. Try one that's a bit harder, a bit higher up, or come back down to a lower one if you've got less people. It just does seem, certainly in PvE terms, very flexible in what it provides and how you can go about it. I think EVE probably is another one where the group size isn't set in stone, but apart from that, hard work. Hard work finding stuff that 20 or more people can all do of a night together for a laugh, you know? Certainly in the MMOs, anyway. Yeah, so lots to look forward to there. I'm personally looking forward to, because I've only ever briefly seen Tier 2 when my free trial went wrong. And I've not, just no real experience beyond the Tier 1 land of Warhammer. So I'm looking, it's all new territory for me, and I'm looking forward to seeing a new game and in good company as well. I enjoyed it immensely. So yeah, lots to do there coming up. What were your impressions, by the way? You were there, weren't you?
Bah, fast, zoom, bang, ooh, ah, dead, ooh, fast,
you've played it before, though, haven't
you?
Yeah,
I have, yeah. How far
did you get on your previous go? Presumably you were mostly soloing that time through.
Yeah, I sort of got to 11 or 12 before.
So you didn't really see much of Tier 2 beyond. No, that's good. I think it'll be quite an interesting experience for most of us. I mean, we've got a number of very knowledgeable native guides in on our team as well. You'll know all this stuff and will be able to help point us to the good stuff.
Yeah.
So that should be good. Guild Wars, yep, still going. Mostly PvE factions. Like, we've sort of given up on doing the alternate weeks PvE, PvP now because I just don't think the interest's there, really. There's a couple of people in the guild who do like the PvP, but, you know,
the rest of you suck.
Well, it's not so much suck, it's the lack of enthusiasm. And there are, you know, there's the random arenas, there's the alliance battle stuff as well. So this PvP is there in the game if these people want it, but it's sort of trying to find a fair path for the whole of the guild, you know, the guild as a whole. It's quite difficult. I mean, if it feels like we're going through the motions every other week just because of a small number of people do enjoy the PvP, then I wonder how fair is that on everyone else, you know. Some people do like it, some people are a bit ambivalent either way, they can take and leave it, and some people just don't like it much at all. So, I mean, I do notice that the supposed PvE weeks tend to have a higher attendance than the PvP weeks, which says something in itself.
What you're basically saying is all those people who were gratefully spending one night a week with their family every
now have to be there all the time. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it says something if people are actively avoiding logging in because they know it's going to be an activity they don't really want to do. I don't know if that's the case. I don't really want to turn it into a huge witch hunt or big, massive forum debatey thing. I think I'll just.
That's why you're so boring.
I know. I'm far too easygoing a guild leader, I think. But we'll just steer it mostly towards PvE at the moment and see how we go in the future.
Yeah.
I imagine people will be wanting to try Guild Wars 2 PvP when it shows up, so perhaps we'll rejuvenate the interest in it all there. But I think many of us have. You can go round and round and round casually dabbling with the PvP in Guild Wars 1 as much as you like, and yeah, it's all right, but it is very samey and repetitive. But if you really want to throw yourself into it, then yeah, there's the big advanced competitive league stuff going on all the time in there, but it takes so much commitment, and I don't think even our keen PvP people don't really want to see the guild turn into this massive sort of elite force of military precision PvP teamwork. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's not really why we're there. It's mostly just turn up, chat lots, have fun. And even the PvE stuff we sort of tackle in a quite slapdash manner these days. Very casual. We'll be nattering away about this, that and the other. Often not even the game we're playing. And then suddenly a party will wipe because no one was paying any attention to what was going on in game. And no one seems to mind too much. It's a very, very sort of free and easy experience in Guild Wars these days. But we got a couple of new people who are still going through campaigns, so that gives us reason to keep going with the missions. And the missions are like old friends now, you know. played them enough times, you get to know the ins and outs, and it becomes quite satisfying just to be able to reliably do them well. You know, I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense. But still going there, yeah. We've got the Eve Wednesday Wormhole Gang.
Yeah.
Still going strong there. We had quite a big turnout last week. You came along.
Even I came along.
Yeah.
I forgot it was a Wednesday. Logged on to my Planetary Interaction.
Got swept up. Yeah.
But luckily, I didn't feel like I didn't know what was going on this time, because I understand that game.
Yes, yes. You turned up in a what can only be described to best as a cargo cane.
I turned up on my cargo cane, yeah. Jesus. Well, you said you needed haulers.
Well, we did need some extra cargo capacity, yes, but I didn't think, you know, a full load slot set of cargo expanders is an appropriate thing to put on an autocannon.
I swapped out one of my cargo extenders for an armour repairer.
Oh, fair
enough. I was showing willing for combat.
Yeah, we did very well, though. I think that week we brought in about 480 million in various bounties, loots, explorables and such like. Mm. That was a very good week, that. So, yeah, that still hasn't been paid out yet as well.
That's all been sold.
I wonder if our money guy's done a runner or if he's just on holiday. But this week we had an interesting experience. We found a POS that had run out of fuel.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're trying to help the poor guys who've obviously put their POS up in wormhole space, left, not being able to get back, and had to abandon their
thing.
Somehow
lost their way
back. You refueled it for them.
No.
And phoned them up and told them where it was.
No. We blew up their corporate ship hangar array and stole all their spaceships and loot.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know. My sort of ethical rationale each week becomes greyer and greyer, and I just don't think I can countenance this action at all. It was blatant looting and scavenging and with no moral dimension whatsoever.
Welcome to Eve.
On the plus side, my journey to the dark side is complete. On the plus side, we managed to find, I think it was a Drake in there, an Osprey, a Coveter, which was too big to get back through the wormhole, so we just boarded it and then blew it up. Self-destructed it for your base 40% insurance. That helped with the pile. And a huge pile of the sorts of stuff we'd have been going to look for anyway if we'd have spent our time doing proper wormholes instead of blowing up.
So the moral of this story is to
let someone else do the heavy lifting. Yeah.
The poor corp, though, had set this thing up, been working there, had all these ships in there, and obviously the wormhole had collapsed while they're out of it, and they haven't been able to get back.
Haven't been able to find it again, hence the fuel would have run out, and the force field goes down on all the gun platform.
What was the corp
things.
Name?
I don't even remember, and I wouldn't read it out.
I
honestly can't remember.
That's
sorry.
A shame, because I think it would be nice to tell
no,
them
that would just
to
seem
stop
like
looking.
Yeah, well, I think it's basically gone, isn't it? I don't know how many interchangeable wormhole systems there are that can connect to any given system.
I don't know.
It's in the thousands, though. Yeah. And there's many hundreds.
It's designed not to be mappable, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You just cannot. Basically, if you lose your link, then... But the basic point is that you should stay in...
Always have an alt
in there.
Stay
with the tower. At least have someone in there with a scanner who can then direct other people back in. Even if the wormhole network changes, you can still find your way back out into high sec and tell people where the new link is. But yeah, well, I think it's part of the risks of a short, sharp lesson in tower management. You've got to keep that fuel coming if you want to. If it wants to stay. I mean, we just didn't have the firepower to destroy the thing because it had about a billion structure points or something. But
oh, yeah, they're... A nightmare to take down by capitals. It takes ages.
Which is interesting because it's very, very difficult to work with capitals in wormhole space because pretty much all the wormhole links themselves are going to end up collapsing if you try and take really big stuff through. So your towers are more or less effectively safe, and this is the real danger for towers.
Yeah.
You'll lose towers and thereby just not being able to get back to them with fuel rather than any.
I'm tempted to set up a tower out there now.
Although I've remembered to fuel it.
I've run towers before and
it sounds like a bit of a ball and
hard.
Chain, to be honest. It's not something I'd personally want to get involved with. But I know some of our Wednesday gang are toying with the idea of setting up some sort of permanent presence in one of the wormholes there. So it should be interesting. Because then obviously you've got as much lab slots as you can eat and all the rest of it. You know, many of the high density problems of Empire Space go away.
Yes.
Corporate hangar array. Basically, it didn't have to give me a shock though when they blew it up, because suddenly like four or five ships, neutral ships, appear on the overview, and I'd had a bit of a panic attack then, and I realised, oh right, gotcha,
Pinata.
Yeah, it was. It was like hitting it with a big stick, and all these little sweet spaceships fall out. It's great. I'd go to find some more of those. I think that was much like our Iteron 5 that contained the tower and the blueprint original for the Brutix. I think that was probably just a very, very lucky coincidence. Yeah. It sort of averaged out, though, this week.
Was there no research, Leb?
I don't know. I wasn't really sure what I was looking at. Some of the other wormhole gang are a bit more expert.
If there had been a research lab, you would have known about it because they would have been laughing and
there would have been lots of giggling and doing the happy dance and so on. That probably counterbalanced our general poor lack of take this week, because I think we only found a we had to leave the scene of the crime quite quickly, obviously, so we abandoned that wormhole and went looking for another one, and after that we only found a class two.
Why did you have to abandon it?
Well, I don't know, just in case anyone came back.
It was obviously abandoned in the first place.
I suppose, yeah. I panicked. I didn't want to hang around at the scene of the crime.
We've got to do something about this conscience thing.
I'm working on it. Well, one atrocity at a time, you know. So standard wormhole stuff, although we got buzzed by an anathema. That was quite exciting. We were working the site and we just see this anathema with a yellow overview name pop up out of nowhere, and I thought, all right, everybody spread out. What is the radius for bombs anyway? It turns out it's 30 kilometres, not 3 as I previously thought. New information. So very literally execute starburst formation, which turned out to be the right thing to do. I'm flying a scimitar now at the moment, logistics shield ship.
I'm not sure if that should be fine with a single bomb.
Yeah, I know, but you don't want to invite trouble, do you? No. Give them the opportunity. But I think largely this wormhole, the second wormhole we found and we're starting to work in, I think was mostly, we kept seeing these names on the overview with the ship naming seeming to be indicative of the same pilot trying different ships out. I think we'd basically just stormed our way into someone's private wormhole and started working their site. So they logged in, saw us there and thought, what do I do? And then just sort of spent a few hours darting about in very small ships.
I still reckon it confuses people. Because it's just so many people.
It looks like an invasion, frankly.
Yeah, but it's so many people and so many diverse corps.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. A large portion of the wormhole gang have formed a corp now.
Okay.
Yeah, Geddon's there. He's set up as a CEO. So, and invited many of our newer players into the corp as a sort of a base. I'm not going to say the name, but I just said his name, so you could probably find it out. I think I may have doomed him to a large number of war decks. Sorry.
Nobody war decks in that game.
Really. Myself, I'm staying staunchly in deep core mining because I'm a big fat coward in that regard. But yeah, we have got a number of it is a very multi-corp operation, these Wednesday things. I don't demand anyone leaves their corp and joins a particular corp. You just turn up from whatever corp you're in.
I was thinking,
don't have to break any ties, all that.
I was thinking of resurrecting our original corp, actually.
Yeah, possibly a good idea. But you sort of have hangers and stuff to swap gear over. We're sort of trying to think what to do next, really. I mean, the wormholes are fun and a good source of income.
You need to keep ramping it up and start stealing stuff.
We need to take it to the next level, whatever that means. I think the plan next is to... So far, we've managed Class 3 wormhole exploration sites with, fair success. We rarely lose anyone, apart from poor Ackley, who turned up in his Imicus. Tech 1 frigate.
Poor Ackley.
I know. We were desperately trying to keep him alive, the logistics wing that we've got. And, I think one of us dropped the ball one particular aggro.
I'm pretty sure some of that alpha's bigger than his total hit points.
It did. It took him in one go. It was incredible. So suitably inappropriate ship for the task. But he gets the scan bonus, and he's becoming quite invaluable at finding wormholes that collapse behind us all.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah,
was that 2 weeks in a row now?
Well, there was a Sunday trip that I was on, and then Ackley found the wormhole, and we all thought, all right, yeah, we'll come along and have a look, give you a hand. A couple of us were potting about on Sunday evening. So we popped in, and the thing just vanishes behind us. It's like, okay, the long-awaited Voyager scenario is finally upon us. It's very important not to panic. That's the key. There is another way out. You just need to take the time, be patient, work through the scan sites. If one wormhole closes, another one will have spawned somewhere in the system. You're never going to be totally locked off. We carried on doing some sites, earning some money while we were waiting for our scan division to come up with an exit strategy. And we found a wormhole in the end, and it was getting on towards midnight. So people needing to get to work on Monday. And we ended up about 15 jumps into what used to be Bob Space in 0.0.
Okay.
Delve, somewhere like that. The names still escape me. So then begins a really quite panicky dash through 0.0, a sort of inverse Rome, as it were, as we try and blast our way back to Isaac.
They won't be expecting that.
I know, they're not expecting people coming the other way. No, usually the Guardian for Care Bears coming from Empire, so... we got back without incident. I think it was just late on Sunday, not many people about. We saw a couple of people on local as we were darting through 0.0, but I think they were either ratting or docked or just minding their own business, whatever. So we got back with no trouble, and then apparently the same thing happens again on another night, a couple of days later. Again, Ackley is involved.
I'm spotting a pattern here.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've started to look up these wormholes. They've all got code numbers if you show info, different names and such like. And I think it's the Z49941 or something. One of these particular ones is like thrown in there a bit like a little landmine, because it's got a ridiculously small mass threshold before it can destabilize and disappear. Whereas compared to all the other wormholes in the list, much, much smaller. And we found one of those on this Wednesday, and I decided I vetoed its use because a whole fleet going through it would probably cleanse it. So, yeah, getting the hang of it, learning the ins and outs. I think the next plan is to attempt to tackle a Class 4 wormhole.
Okay.
I think we can do it. We will need some very specialised ships set up to tank Alpha Strikes, though.
Yes, I shall be bringing a command ship.
Yeah, you'd be ideal for that. I mean, we're talking very large buffer tank rather than fast regen abilities, because your reps are just not going to be able to cover it. But if you got like extenders and whatnot and very high resistances,
yeah, probably a well equipped Drake.
Well, we got a lot of logistics in our wormhole team. There's two Guardians and myself in a Scimitar, so between us we can repair an awful lot of damage. But it's who goes in first.
Yeah,
somebody has to go in first because they'll have the bookmark. Then everyone else warps to them, and during that crucial sort of 20 to 40 second window, you're entirely on your own against a Class 4 wormhole with some absolutely horrific turret damage. So you need to be able to survive until the logistics can get in position and lock can start repairing and so on. Tricky business. And I don't even know how you do... I mean, we're mostly in battle cruisers. Presumably those can do the job.
I have no idea. But we will find out.
Well, there's fives and sixes, apparently. And sixes, I think you probably do need a capital fleet, but God knows how you even get a capital fleet in there, let alone sort of operate around the place, because most large capital ships are going to collapse wormholes very, very quickly as they move around the wormhole space regions. So, yeah, interesting logistics to come back. Yeah, I need to keep an eye out for other things we want to try and do on our Wednesday game. So try some other things as well, you know, sort of explore all the different aspects of the game so we know which ones we like the best. I'm thinking perhaps a mining op one week.
No.
I know most people hate mining, but, you know, got to give it a go.
If you're mining, you've failed.
I know. It's generally a money-making system of last resort, but you never know. Perhaps a very large organised outing might earn a huge amount of money. Who knows? And DDO, we're gradually jockeying into position to be able to attempt this Demon Queen raid.
The hype on that's getting too much.
I know. Kadesnik's posted an enormously elaborate and involved strategy on the VanHemlock.com forums there, which I haven't actually read yet. I was just going to turn up and start shooting stuff with arrows like I usually do.
It'll be fine.
A lot of random pew-pew in my case. That's my one strategy that seems to work. Except when it doesn't.
Then Lessa gets that sound in her voice.
I know, it all gets a bit terse.
Yeah.
I do my bit, but I've decided to stick with the Arcane Archer, mostly just because I can't be bothered to level anything else up again. Turns out that level 12, 13 that my range is at is actually quite far in DDO terms, considering they got a cap of 20.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of considerably over halfway, and I don't really want to start from scratch again. I haven't even unlocked this veteran start at level 4 status thing yet either, so I'd probably want to do that if I thinking about starting again. Let's see, that's my regulars. I've been trying APB now and then, and sort of dipping in and hanging out with Melmoth and Zozo, killed in a smiling accident there, but I don't know. I just can't get into it. It's starting to be a bit...
None of my experiences in APB recently have been fun.
I'm not really enjoying it, even with Mike and James around, which is the death knell, really. If you can't enjoy an MMO with the killed in a smiling accident gang hanging around and chatting to you, then you're probably not going to enjoy the game at all.
The levels of griefing's getting... It's out of hand.
Yeah, well, it's obviously a PvP centric game. That's the basic fundamental core of gameplay. Fair enough. It's a game in which you're supposed to be a badass gangster. You know, it's going to attract people who are going to extensively test the gaming systems.
Yeah,
which ideally should have been done before launch. Did you see that big announcement? Oh, we're going to revisit all the combat systems.
We're
going to
revisit all the combat and the driving and the world and.
It's a pretty much a sort of rolling redesign from scratch, but without throwing any players out or closing it down, because that would look like a kind of failure. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I just get really annoyed with the map hacking that goes on. People can get to high places, and unless you know exactly the right places to jump, you can't get to them. And there's just a fantastically out of balance equipment system in there.
Yeah,
it shouldn't matter. Gun specs shouldn't matter in a proper FPS PvP game, something like Battlefield or whatever.
They just made mistake after mistake on it, and I don't see how they managed to make them. Did nobody stop to think, oh, hang on, this is slightly exploitable. You can park a car on top of the objective.
Yeah, that's another one. I mean, if you're looking hard enough, it seems very easy to find exploits in that game and just take other players for a complete ride.
I've always had too many missions where slogging through it and in the bad guys at the end just complete the last bit of it and win.
Yeah, that's a bit strange. Only the very last step counts to victory or success or loss, which, you know, you've done about 8 or 9 steps before that.
It's just so demoralising.
Yeah. I think it's going to drive a lot of people out, really. I don't think many people are going to extend beyond the boxed 50 hours, to be honest.
No.
I mean, I'm still going to have hours left in years to come, I think. Just the sheer lack of time I'm spending in there.
Look, they're going to expire hours, I reckon. They're going to have to.
Well, just sort of run them out after so long.
Yeah.
Otherwise, well, I suppose if you've still got hours and the game's closed, you can't redeem them. I don't know. I mean, there are moments of brilliance in there. It can be fun, but the moments are few and far between, I'm thinking. I'm just not getting it. And it could be me, it could be I'm slow, it could be I suck, could be my PC's not up to spec. I don't know. I just seem to lose pretty much every one-on-one PvP encounter in that game.
At the start,
and even hanging around in gangs is, you know, a bit hit and miss.
At the start, it was easy to win some encounters, but now no.
It's just people are learning.
I got put so many hours in to actually be able to catch up with everyone. It just doesn't seem worth it. There's other things I could be doing.
I know. More enjoyable games to play. Yeah. Busy man. So, yeah, I think I shan't really be bothering with APB much anymore.
No, I don't think I will be either.
Dip in for the odd hour here or there, but over a number of years, I suspect.
I think
mostly out of morbid curiosity.
I think this is going to be the big MMO disaster launch of the year.
I think it's...
And it's purely down to the game. None of the launch mechanisms.
I don't know. A lot of it seemed avoidable. It's stuff that I could have thought of.
Yeah.
You know, as just a typical MMO gamer, you think of these things.
I just can't understand why they didn't think of it.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, lack of experience in the MMO field,
I suppose. No, I don't think that even covers it.
No.
Well, if that is it, then it's pure incompetence.
Well, because the previous project was Crackdown, which was co-op, yes. Was there a deathmatch aspect to it?
No, there was some...
It's not really a vastly multiplayer experience, though.
It was a vastly multiplayer, but not really competitive multiplayer in the first one.
Yeah, it's a shame, because we were had quite hopes for it all, really, didn't we? All dashed, yeah. Planning on that being our big next weekly game. Instead, there we are in Warhammer. So, yeah. Real-time worlds' loss is Mythic's gain, it seems like.
There are winners and losers, and real-time worlds' loss.
Not saying Warhammer's particularly bad. I mean, do you remember the Mythic, we build everyone 50 times this month thing? I hope that doesn't happen to us while we're there.
Yeah,
that could be embarrassing.
That would get quite angry.
I think there'd be a bit of a ragey podcast.
I don't reckon that'll ever happen again.
No. I imagine they've probably got systems in place now to make sure that doesn't happen again. It's a little bit buggy, generally, Warhammer. But
it's still very buggy.
Yeah, I know, and you'd think at this point, this far in.
It's stuff like using emotes, they go on forever.
Oh, God.
Why isn't that fixed yet?
That's crazy. It's the goblins and certainly the goblins and possibly the female elves as well seem to be stricken with it. It's, if you type your slash special emote, it will never stop until you lock out again, which is a bit of a problem. I mean, it seems to have known issues here, there and everywhere, and I don't know.
Have I been spoilt by being in Lord of the Rings? Because they used to fix bugs.
Was Lord of the Rings noticeably bug-free? I don't remember any real
showstoppers. There weren't that many bugs, and when there were, they would go away.
It's usually the festival horses.
Their total inability to make horses work.
Yeah. So that's me. I've not really been doing much in the way of consoles, to be honest.
Freak.
Except our mystery game for the review show coming up.
Yeah, we need
up,
to play that a
bit. Going to play some more of.
In an hour's time, actually.
In a bit. But I have been playing a lot of Freelancer. You remember I was playing Darkstar 1?
So was I, yes.
Yeah, I was playing Darkstar 1 and I was thinking, it wasn't Freelancer great, so I started playing Freelancer instead.
Freelancer's
still great, despite being about 5 years older than Darkstar 1.
Yeah.
It's still far, far superior.
It's about 10 years old now.
I know. Good old nostalgia gaming trip there, but I like it. I finished the story and the interesting thing with the Freelancer there is that finishing the story only dumps you about halfway up the ship power grade. So there's still loads more and so much unexplored universe to go finding as well. So it's one of those games where the story ends but the game keeps going for quite some time afterwards. And I'm in that sort of pottering around it, unlocking all the outposts stage. It's quite enjoyable. It's a good sometimes other game. I think that's probably me.
Wow.
Yeah, go for it. You can talk.
Okay, there's...
look at you, yeah. Your little portable paper there.
Yeah. I'll be talking about that in a bit.
Yeah.
It started off with Transformers, War for Cybertron.
Still going with that?
Yeah, I sort of petered out on it. I got to the Autobot campaign and...
And don't like it because good is dumb.
No, the level design's just a little bit samey. All the brilliant reviews for the game were basically reviewing it against every other Transformers game and not every other game.
Ah, Transformers games having a history of not being that great.
Yeah, it's a very average game.
fair enough.
The level design's a bit lacking and the plot's a bit lacking and, yeah, I sort of ran out of steam.
Mm.
I need to make the move and finish it. But
so very much a rent, don't buy, probably.
I think so, yeah, definitely. And so, yeah, I've sort of dropped off my radar completely. I've not played a lot of games, actually.
Fair enough.
Oh, there was the 4th of July weekend bonus XP thing in Gears of War 2.
Yeah, I've never really understood the point of XP in that game. XP gives you a level,
ding,
and the level does nothing at all apart from... unlocks achievements, of course, yes.
Yes. Yeah, and so I played that and got a load of levels, actually. That was quite fun. Whenever they have the XP thing, an awful lot more people start playing it online.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more people to play with.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I only really played that because of the XP. I am
not shallow at all, are you? No.
That's the game we're reviewing, so I can't mention that.
That's the mystery game.
The mystery game.
Hmm.
Yeah, then it got a little bit Lego-y.
Okay.
Lego Harry Potter.
Lego Harry Potter. Oh,
yeah.
Dear, here we go.
Actually, I burnt out on the Lego games halfway through Lego Batman.
Yeah.
Because they were all getting a bit samey.
Bit samey, yeah.
And I
different
don't
characters.
Know if it's the fact that it's now 2 years later, or the fact that they've solved a lot of things, because I think they also have, but Lego Harry Potter is quite fun.
Has it fundamentally changed the gameplay style, or is it the same business where here's your guy who can jump twice as high, here's the one that can fly, this one can shoot stuff?
Sort of.
Yeah.
But not really.
So it is the same game... As
no,
all the others,
they've expanded it a lot.
IP.
You've got spells and stuff now, which you can select between and things.
Fair enough. So, you're still collecting Lego bricks, aren't you? Your little pips.
Yeah. It's very much the same, but I think they've moved it on to that next step, so it's actually enjoyable.
It
doesn't feel like
because up to now it felt sort of like that. If you had one of them, you had them all. Really, you just had to pick which flavour you like visually.
Well,
the best.
They've been getting more and more over time. Batman added quite a lot of stuff, and Indiana Jones did too. But I never actually played Indiana Jones 2, the second one.
Right.
But, it's actually a very good game and very enjoyable.
Yes, Lego's cool, and the little Lego people jumping around in their comedic manner is also cool, but ultimately you'd start to look for deeper things there and want a bit more to it all.
Yeah.
Which I think probably the problem the early Star Wars ones had.
Well, the early Star Wars ones were fine because they were what they were.
Yeah.
It's just they didn't quite move it on fast enough to something else. And I think they've done that now, that they have actually solved a lot of the problems.
Yeah, so if you like the original Lego stuff, this is probably a good one to look at.
Definitely. And even if you've been a little bit burnt out by them being a bit samey, it's definitely worth a look out for.
Right.
Then there was Singularity.
Oh, okay. What's that?
It's a first-person shooter with an alternate future. Well, alternate now, where in the past the Russians discovered this energy source which does timey-wimey stuff. And
wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey, right.
That's about it, really. You can influence items, make them old or young.
Sort of Braid meets a first-person shooter, is
sort
it?
Sort of, yeah. And the entire first level feels very much like they've played Bioshock and really wanted to make Bioshock.
Damn it, somebody else made Bioshock. Well, we'll make it anyway. It'll be fine, yeah.
It's solid.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. It's not amazing.
You're picking words that are generally synonymous with average here.
Yeah. It's a solid effort.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stand out in any way at all.
B minus, good.
Except for the fact that I'm only so far in because I got distracted by the next game and also going away. But I've come to the conclusion that I was responsible for the whole thing in the first place due to time travel.
Oh, God. Is that going to be the big twist at the end?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was me all along.
Well, no, I think that it's already told me that. So.
Future Tim, you're an arse. Sorry, in case this ends up in the future, because obviously it's going to be my fault when he's in the future.
Yeah.
He's done something bad.
That's true.
I'm just swearing at him now for saving myself some time.
Yep, and then there was the big game. Crackdown 2.
Oh, gosh, yes, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Since your big release of the Fortnite, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, basically.
The one that everyone's been waiting for, what do you reckon? It's, bit of a leading question. I know your opinions on this already.
It's very much Crackdown 1.5.
Yeah. Doesn't really add an awful lot then.
It plays exactly the same.
The city looks broadly the same as well. The set in the same city.
The city is all ruined now.
Oh, yeah.
They've toned down the cartoon shader a bit as well.
I didn't like that when I was watching over your shoulder there.
No,
you play
I think
it
may have lost something.
Definitely preferred the graphical style of the first one. This one looks all a bit dark and grubby, yeah, frankly.
And people told them when they were developing it, saying, oh, look, your screenshots, you've lost that graphical style. And they said, no, it's the way we take screenshots. And for that, I can say, no, you've lost your graphical style.
Yeah.
Listen to people in the future, you idiots.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it plays exactly the same. The targeting's the same. The jumping's the same. The combat's the same.
It's all about the orbs.
All about the orbs as well. Lots of jumping. There's new orb types.
Yeah, those are quite fascinating.
Yes, there's multiplayer-only orbs.
Multiplayer-only orbs? What, you have to both stand on it at once? Or
you have to have another person close to you when you get it.
Interesting.
Each time I see one, I think... why is Andy not online? And I think every time Andy sees one, he thinks, why is John not online?
He's your big Crackdown buddy, is he?
It would be if we'd actually gotten the same game together since we got it, because we've both been busy.
Fair enough. What does that bring to the experience, do you think?
Forces you to play co-op.
Forces you to play co-op so you can farm.
No, it encourages you to play co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Then there's the Renegade Orbs.
Oh, I don't like those.
Which run away.
They were taking the piss a bit, weren't they?
No, they do for you, but if you've got skill, you can
There we go.
What?
I had a go at chasing one. It kept moving out of reach. Every time I jumped near it, it would just run away giggling. I don't want orbs to run away. Blimey.
No.
We fear change.
You jump and then you catch them quite happily.
Really?
Yeah.
Must have been doing something wrong.
Yeah, you were just rubbish. Get used to it. Yeah, but it feels exactly the same, and the way it felt before was not too bad.
So, more of the same, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, more of the same. They didn't break massive tracks of stuff by changing it.
Don't expect anything revolutionary or shockingly different.
Yeah, but if you enjoyed the first one, you'll enjoy this one.
Right, fair enough.
And if you missed the first one, you might be a bit bemused by this one.
Yeah.
There's a bit more of a plot this time.
Mm-hmm.
But it,
just the two factions now, and they sort of alternate during day and night, do they?
Yeah. Yeah, there's more of a plot, but not enough to get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Has it still got awesome voiceover guy?
Awesome voiceover guy won't shut up now. He also tells you whenever you get an achievement.
Excellent.
He'll say something.
It all breaks a bit fourth wall a bit.
You've done this.
It?
That's an achievement.
Enjoy your achievement. You know what, eh?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to know about achievements. You're inside.
Yeah, I've cleaned out all the freaks, and I'm just about to set off the last freak bomb at the moment.
Okay, so there's a big plot.
The end of the game.
The big plot is that during your hijinks in the first game, you let a load of mutant things out of a research facility, and now they're back and overrunning the city.
Yeah, and along the way, they've been made worse, and the agent's program was destroyed, and a renegade terrorist organization sprung up as well.
Ah, right. But generally, lots of fun picking up dumpsters and hurling them at stuff, all that sort of thing.
And you can put a dumpster upside down on top of a car and have an armoured car.
I never thought of that. Brilliant.
But yeah, it's really enjoyable still. And all you can tell in the reviews, the people who understand it and the people that don't. Because there was one review that said, yeah, there's just one mission which is utterly impossible. No, it's not. You've just got to think like Crackdown.
Which is basically rocket jumping, isn't it?
There's a lot of jumping with rockets.
Jump as high as you can, fire a rocket at the ground. Rinse and repeat.
Some things you just can't do until you've leveled up.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Because like
a certain degree
one,
of soft gating there.
Yeah,
you've
got to get your agility to a certain level before you can get to the top of some buildings.
Well, I mean, yeah, the end boss on the third faction in the first game is on top of a massive skyscraper.
Yeah.
You're not going to have much chance climbing initially until you've leveled up a bit, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think that's the same skyscraper I had trouble climbing for this one.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it's really enjoyable and it's great fun. And I think I'm going to be playing it for a long time yet, collecting orbs.
Is it much there for people who never played Crackdown, or would you recommend the first one? Clearly, it will appeal to people who loved the first one.
You can play it without playing the first one,
yeah,
definitely.
Standalone.
If you do like collecting stuff, I really recommend it.
Yeah, the agility orbs are somewhat legendary and notorious.
They are, yes.
What's that magazine you had with the thing on the front?
Oh, the official Xbox magazine had a little chip and speaker and thing which would do the agility orb sound.
That's brilliant.
You wait till you find it. It's okay.
Yeah. You've hidden it somewhere, have you?
I have, yes. Oh, God. It's going to be great fun. Uh-huh. What else? Oh, I played Death Spank.
What the hell's that?
It's a new adventure-y type game.
Uh-huh.
By Thingy, Famous Guy. It's
Famous Guy.
Great fun so far. I've only played it for a couple of hours.
Right.
And I'll talk about it a lot more on the next one. Fair enough.
Hopefully with more specifics.
I just wanted to mention that I played it, and so far it's brilliant.
Right.
So anyone a bit wavering as to whether or not to get it should consider getting it.
Right. Deathspank, there you go.
Yeah. And then, ignoring the fact that I went off and spent an entire weekend away from a computer.
Yeah, it's not particularly relevant, but do you want to talk about it?
I went to the Formula One.
To the Formula
One? It was research.
Silverstone.
It was research for the Codemasters Formula One game.
Ah, so having seen some real racing up close and personal, are you now still impressed with any of your racing games? Or?
They're all a lot quieter. Yeah. So what have I been playing? Monkey Island 2 got released.
Yes.
For the first time in a long time, I didn't buy that on a console.
Oh, here we go. Revelation time.
I bought that on an iPad.
Because
I got an iPad.
One of them.
And you know what?
Yeah.
The iPad does point-and-click adventures so brilliantly.
I suppose it stands to reason, yeah.
Yeah. You're just pointing adventures now. And it works perfectly.
It's a little tabletop Monkey Island device.
Yeah. And I think that Monkey Island on the iPad is probably the best version.
Really?
Yeah.
Have they tarted it up, or is it that scum VM thing and just running the old style
it's
stuff?
Like the release of the first Monkey Island game recently, they've tarted up the graphics.
Oh, right.
Fair enough. It's the full talky version with new graphics.
Ah.
So it's all HD and looks good, but the same game.
I wonder if we'll see a revival of the point-and-click adventure now the iPad's
I hope so. I really hope so.
Because the more I think about it, the more it does seem like an ideal piece of hardware to be playing that kind
but
of thing.
But I also played the one of the Summer Max games on it, and unfortunately it begins to chug a bit and it isn't quite as good.
Ah.
Doesn't run quite as well.
Hmm. So why is that?
I just don't think the engine is quite up for the power of the device.
So there needs certain optimization for iPads
required. Turn down the graphics slightly, I think, and it would have been fine. So that wasn't quite as good, but it's still that. Was
that Monkey Island era, yeah. Are we looking to see lots more conversions and ports?
There's quite a few already, but I reckon that there'll be a lot of people writing new ones because... People can write new ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant idea. What else? Oh, I played Red Alert on it.
Red Alert. Actually a Command & Conquer spin-off, wasn't
it? Yeah.
RTS, yes.
I wanted to see what an RTS could do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, RTS is work on it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much anything you use a mouse pointer and need to drag things about.
Yeah,
on.
And all of a sudden with the pinching and rotating and stuff, it all works an awful lot
Grip
better.
Grip selecting, all that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, that was very encouraging. Haven't got very far into that one yet. I don't know how well it would do if you had loads of units on screen.
Yeah, how does the real-time aspect of it work as opposed to a turn-based strategy or Civilization or whatever? Can it keep up with events? Can it process everything all right?
Everything I've done so far it's managed to do fine, but I've not been in large numbers of units yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been... You know,
I'd like to see something like Supreme Commander on there, so it can cope with the added 3D elements of it all.
Oh, no, it's in 3D, Red Alert.
All right.
Yeah, Red Alert's a full 3D
game.
Yeah, but Supreme Commander always went nuts with the number of units.
it was always an iffy proposition on a proper PC, yeah.
Yeah. I also played, Plants vs. Zombies HD, of course.
I've seen you playing that on the iPhone, though.
Yeah, it was an awful lot better on the iPad.
Well, yeah, because the iPhone's a stupidly small size.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, tell me about it. It just feels so icky now. Tiny. I have to buy a new one. And also Mirror's Edge.
Yeah. It does look like you've stolen an iPhone from a giant there.
These are all old jokes. You should get some new material.
I know.
Yeah, Mirror's Edge is good.
Yes?
Yes. It's quite like Cannibolt, but with a lot more complicated jumping, much in the same vein.
That's not the proper Mirror's Edge, is it? That's the sort of side-scroller.
Yeah, it's a 3D,
sort of 3D
side-on.
Side-on thing,
one.
Yeah.
But you've got all of the same moves.
So it's not actually the first person, oh my God, here's a massive cityscape, where do I go?
No, it's at the side on you've got a massive
cityscape,
and it's got all the same moves, so it's just as complicated, and again, it works really well.
Right.
They've actually managed to come up with a control system that works for it.
Are these all games that previously already existed for the iPhone anyway?
No.
Are we seeing actual purpose made for iPad games yet?
I think all the games I've mentioned are iPad only.
Oh, right.
The Plants vs. Zombies HD is a different version than the iPhone version.
Yeah. This is early days for the platform, obviously.
Yeah, it is. We're still only a couple of months in. Mm. A lot of chance. And I think the best game I played is Osmos HD.
I have no idea what that even is.
It's basically you are an amoeba-y thing,
yep,
which can absorb other amoeba-y things that get bigger.
Uh-huh.
And if you get touched by a bigger one,
yep,
you shrink.
Because
it takes away your mass and it grows. And
sort of like the early levels of Spore or something, is it?
Not at all.
Right.
And you move by tapping behind you and you eject a bit of your mass and pushes you on. And so you move around, try and pick up enough stuff, don't bump into the wrong things, get big enough to swallow up everything and win.
Uh-huh.
And there's also some levels where you've got a central attractor and you're basically orbiting it and you can adjust your orbit by ejecting in or out. And you have to collect up stuff on that too. And that is great fun. And it is
probably plays better than it sounds.
No, it's one of those brilliant and puzzle games type things. And it's brilliant.
And fascinating through its basic mechanics.
Yeah, and I think everyone should play it if they've got an iPad. It's just one of those brilliant games.
Mm.
It will suck up minutes of your time.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about hours, but minutes for sure.
Minutes will do for now.
Yeah. Have I played anything else?
I don't know.
I think that's
console. What have we got on the desk at the moment?
No, mystery game. Mystery game. There's MotoGP, which I only had a look at to see the new Silverstone because I was going there. It's all the games.
You've had
I've
a
played.
Bit of a quiet fortnight.
I have. I've been burnt out on games.
Yeah,
I'm still burnt out after Red Dead Redemption. It's terrible. In fact, it's quite depressingly dreadful.
So Red Dead's basically left you in such a slump you don't want to play anything else.
Yeah.
I suppose that's a good thing for Red Dead, but bad thing in general.
Definitely. I need to play more games. I'm missing playing games.
So there's always the Even Warhammer stuff going on, so always drop in there.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So just sort of tangenting onto the iPad then, where do you see the gaming going? Is it exciting time for pioneering iPad gaming?
I think it is.
A question of wait and see?
I think that as people are discovering what it can and can't do, I think that we're getting some interesting little things develop. People are moving away from that whole virtual D-pad on it, virtual controls where you just touch and move around and move the controls.
Yeah.
And are coming up with proper, touch swipe type controls.
Seems much better for that, yeah.
Yeah, which suit it a lot better. And as people discover what does and doesn't work, people are having some brilliant ideas for games that can only really be done using it.
Mm. So we'll see whole genres spinning off out of this experimentation, I suppose.
I think we are, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm very encouraged by it.
So we're probably not looking to see your big AAA first person shooters replicated on there. That's more of a medium, I suppose, for anything you'd normally use a mouse for.
Yeah, it's more the puzzle games, the adventures. There were some driving games.
Often been neglected, I suppose, in this current console generation.
Yeah, I think it really. The reason why I like it is all those games which are abandoned, all those genres. Mm. Really have a home here now,
yeah.
And I find that really quite encouraging.
That's good.
Yeah, so you should buy one.
I will one day, yeah. Maybe.
But it does mean I can do the next bit of the show without needing the computer on.
Well, look at you.
Yeah,
you got the Twitter question on a little clipboard there.
I do. It's brilliant.
It's truly we live in the future.
We do. I watched Voyager the other day.
Yeah. Have they got these?
Their
yet?
Versions of these aren't as good.
Not as big.
It's got the stupid Star Trek UI on
They're
it.
They're thicker. They've got the stupid Star Trek UI. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got better spaceships than us, though.
They do.
Mm, so, winners and losers.
So what was your Twitter question?
I was amused by the real ID. Well, bemused, I suppose the word is, really, all this real ID stuff. We talked a fair bit about it on the mini news show earlier in the week, and I figured that I'd just let you ask me for any of my personal information because, if you can't beat them, join them. Privacy is an outmoded concept, so here we are. And I also volunteered all your personal information as well.
Yeah, thank you for that.
That's all right.
I, of course, was away.
We are a team.
I had no veto in this. Okay, starting with MSX.
Yep.
He said, which do you prefer, the smaller French breasts or the huge swelling melons?
Oh, well, I don't think you can make a general blanket statement there, really. It's different breasts for different occasions, Frank. It depends on the mood. It's like fine wines, you know. Sometimes I like a white, sometimes I like a red.
I'd have to say that because of the damage that the what's okay in porn laws actually do to women's self-esteem, encouraging people to have bizarre body shapes and teaching women that having outside of certain area of body shape is wrong, I'd have to say smaller ones.
I think we put a lot more thought into this answer than he's put into that question.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm especially,
is it what's inside that counts?
No, I'm especially thinking of the Australian moves to ban small breasts in porn because of child pornography laws.
Australia now has a minimum breast size,
which is just a dangerous way to go, because it's telling women having small breasts is bad, when of course it isn't.
It's certainly not. No. Shall we talk about something else? I'm starting to feel somewhat uncomfortable here.
Well, just because I happen to have a sensible answer. Okay. Dino in a biscuit.
Good name.
Of great importance, what is your favourite biscuit?
My favourite biscuit? Oh, I think probably... I don't know, I'm tempted to go with Jaffa Cakes.
It's
but
a cake, not a biscuit.
It's a cake, not a biscuit. Oh, well, I don't know then.
Biscuits go soft when they go stale.
Yeah.
Cakes get hard.
I know what my least favourite biscuit is.
Hobnob.
Rich tea.
Rich tea,
no. Very boring indeed. I think probably... just chocolate biscuit, really. Chocolate digestive.
I'd have to say chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah. Biscuit is a chocolate delivery system, really.
Yep. Eric Stowe says, it's showing proper names, help. Shoe size, job description, and blood type, please.
Shoe size is 13, which makes it... Do you want me to rant? Oh, what,
no.
I could rant extensively for at least another hour about how difficult it is to find size 13
shoes.
He goes
to Army Surplus.
I have to go to Army Surplus to find my shoes, yes. What was the other ones?
Job description. You don't know what your job description
it
is.
It varies. I got about four of them I could legitimately use.
Fixer.
Yeah.
And blood type.
Blood type, Z.
Yeah. My shoe size is 10. My job description is engineer.
Engineer.
And my blood type. I don't actually know what my blood type is.
Yeah, I don't know, but it sinks in mercury, so that's a bit worrying.
Yeah. Kurith Kodachi.
Hmm.
Your Eve in-game name, so I know who to hunt down when you say something I disagree with.
I'm tempted to go. Oh, go on then, Brishika. But you can work out how to spell it yourself.
I'm Senyet, not Lim.
Yay,
and if anyone wants to know why, figure it out yourself. Jackson92.
Yep.
What kind of food allergies do you have? By the way, I'm a great cook. Want me to make you something delicious? No, you're not.
I don't think I have any.
I don't either.
No, coffee cream biscuits when I was little, these nearly killed me, but I think that might have been some...
Over-eagerness to eat them.
That was some 80s, now banned chemical that probably isn't used in food anymore.
Yeah.
No, don't think I have any, really.
I don't have any either.
No.
He follows up with actually the whole thing about being a good cook is BS. Unless it's got eggs in it, I could do anything with eggs. Really?
Right.
Winterblink. Pretty much every bit. No, that's something else.
He's replying somebody else, I think.
Yeah. Dr. Tayrag. I demand less info. All these real and fake names confuse a stupid person. John being John is okay, but who is Tim?
Who is Tim?
No one knows who Tim is.
Not even me. He wants less information? Right. Okay. See what I can do.
MMO Dog wants to know. He says, we know your real name, so how about your porn star names?
My porn star name is Gary Newman, strangely enough.
When I was,
it's a long story.
When I was performing in porn, I went by John.
Mm.
Song Zero. Do either of you like Marmite?
I don't know.
It sounds
unbelievable, but I honestly don't know if I like Marmite or not.
I can give or take it. I don't like it. I don't dislike it either.
Yeah, I can eat it,
but no, I've got no strong opinion.
To find it,
and I know that people are going
to
think that I'm just saying that for humorous effect, but it's true.
It's true, yeah.
PJ Harvey.
I think we've uncovered a big conspiracy. Yeah. I bet there's lots of people who don't care either way about Marmite.
Yeah. PJ Harvey says, would you like some toast? That's Tiger is, of course.
Yes. I think
I always want toast.
Yeah. He offered us toast last time we asked a question like this as well, I'm sure.
Pete Walker 74. Let's not get dramatic, fellas. This cuts down the trolls. I'm all for it. It's not as if I'm giving out my SSN. By the way, we've given out your SSN earlier.
We'll refer you to, that sounds like a serious answer there, so I'll refer you to a previous news show for the serious thoughts on that.
Mikey Dreadlock says, what is your name, what is your quest, what is your favourite colour?
yellow.
Already says, has your credit card been stolen? DM me your number and expiry date to find out.
Oh, I'll get right on that. Thank you.
Actually, way back, I asked you what your fave beer is. John said tea. You, sir, do not drink. You heathen. So what is your favourite colour?
My favourite colour? Oh, I don't know. Grey. I have trouble with colours. It's one of my many job titles is graphic designer, and I honestly have trouble with colours on a profound and professional
You're
level.
Very good with blue.
They're all my favourites. They're all my children.
Gudes Nick says, such a strange question. I think I will answer in private.
All right. Look forward to that.
Mash UK says, what is your favourite dinosaur?
Stegosaurus, obviously.
I'd have to say Triceratops.
No, the big platey thing is on the back there. Much better.
Blah, blah, blah. Shutty asking the same question someone else has asked because he doesn't do his research. Geddens. Is Schrodinger's cat dead or alive?
It's in a quantum state which is both neither half alive and nor half dead.
So we shouldn't look in the box.
Don't look in the box.
Okay.
Yeah. May kill it. Or may not.
Sentak, how about knowing what you guys do for a living? I bet someone already asked that. I bet 10 people already did.
Yeah, so, well, graphic design is one of them. Software testing. No, I don't want a job as a tester on an MMO, and this is why I don't like betas so much. programmer, I think, is one of them.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I'm mainly a programmer. Mr. Chu. What is the most guilty pleasure that you would never admit except to the whole world on Twitter?
Oh, that's got to be primetime ITV Saturday night game shows. We need to start a whole other podcast so I can rant about them extensively.
The
BBC Saturday primetime game shows are quite bad too as well.
He's not joking either.
No, I know a surprising number of them.
Many a lunch has been spent with me ending up by banging his head into the table till it stops. What do you reckon mine is? I'd say mine's Lego.
That's not a guilty pleasure. You should be out and proud with the Lego. Everyone likes Lego. What's not to like?
Yeah. Okay, beer then.
Yeah, that's a shameful thing.
Yeah.
I think your guilty pleasure is the Knight Rider and Street Hawk and Airwolf.
Obsession. Okay, yes. Brilliant 80s TV shows.
80s action TV shows from America.
That and Aha.
Involving the Hoff or people with similar haircuts.
That's the end of them, actually.
Yeah. So hopefully we've dispelled some of our privacy, which just causes problems. I think we should.
I would just like to end by reading out Tim's credit card number.
Yep, you'll find the credit card numbers, both our credit card numbers, after the ending music. So do listen in. with that, do we learn anything this week?
I did.
Did you learn anything this week? All right, what did you learn?
Two people took Vuvuzelas to the Formula One, and they can't compete. It's brilliant. You just can't hear them. You can't hear air horns. So why do they think you better hear those things?
And this week, in keeping with my guilty pleasure, I learned that there is a worse game show concept than Total Wipeout.
Wow.
Yeah. So with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.